conflict in Ukraine, which marked its first anniversary on Friday, 24th of February. Amir Said Iravani made the remarks while addressing the UN General Assembly's 11th emergency special session on the Ukraine conflict on Thursday. Iravani said that Tehran supports the idea of leveraging the Secretary-General's capacity, as mandated by the United Nations Charter, to establish a cross-regional group of independent, competent, impartial countries. The Islamic Republic of Iran is ready to contribute to this process. Amir Said Iravani added, "This can facilitate dialogue and help find a way out of the current impasse." Iravani stressed that Iran's position with regards to the war in Ukraine has not changed. "We are steadfast in our commitment of upholding the principles and purposes enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations, including the principles of sovereign equality and territorial integrity of all countries." The Iranian diplomat added, "We urge all parties to fully comply with their obligation under international humanitarian law, including taking constant precautions to protect civilians and critical infrastructure, and facilitating access to safe and unfettered access to humanitarian aid for those who are in need." Noting that the ongoing conflict is detrimental to both parties as neither can earn any long-term advantage, Iravani added that it is crucial for all involved parties to abandon the military ambitions and prioritize finding a peaceful diplomatic resolution of the conflict. Amir Said Iravani also pointed to the need to solve the root causes of the conflict. He said, "By prioritizing dialogue and diplomacy and addressing the underlying cause of the conflict, we can take a crucial step towards achieving a solution that not only mitigates the devastating humanitarian part, but also restores regional stability and security." Iravani added, "As a first step, we call for an immediate and comprehensive ceasefire, coupled with the provision of humanitarian aid to those in need, which should take precedence over all else." The Iranian diplomat also criticized the draft of the proposed resolution, saying, "Unfortunately, the proposed text falls short of comprehensively and impartially addressing all aspects of the issue and fails to acknowledge the conditions and provocations that have contributed to this crisis." He noted that the actions and policies of certain sponsors of this resolution raised doubts about the political will to resolve the dispute peacefully. Russia has been carrying out a special operation in its neighbor since last February. Moscow says the operation aims to stop Kiev's persecution of pro-Russian population in eastern Ukraine and to denazify the ex-Soviet Republic. The Republic World website has also covered this story and tells us more. The United States has announced sweeping sanctions aimed at increasing economic pressure on Russia and reducing Moscow's access to critical technologies such as semiconductors as the war in Ukraine enters its second year. In a statement on Friday, 24th of February, the White House said the sanctions, which target sectors including banks and the defense industry, affect more than 200 individuals and entities, including both Russian and third country actors across Europe, Asia, and West Asia who support Russia. The Biden White House said among those subject to new sanctions, which come on top of multiple layers of previous measures imposed over the last 12 months, will be a dozen Russian financial institutions, in alignment with allies and partners, as well as Russian officials and proxy authorities operating in Ukraine. The White House said today's action would result in increased tariffs on more than 100 Russian metals, minerals, and chemical products worth approximately $2.8 billion. It will also significantly increase costs for aluminium that was smelted or cast in Russia to enter the U.S. market. In the statement on the occasion of the anniversary of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, NATO's military alliance said It is increasing its political and practical support to Ukraine and will continue to aid as long as necessary. Meanwhile, the European Council, which brings together European national leaders, announced in a statement that the European Union will not rest until Ukraine wins the war with Russia. The Council has emphasized that it will continue to support Kiev along with its international partners until it ensures that Ukraine will win against Russia. Meanwhile, the Kremlin has repeatedly warned that the Western sanctions and Western military assistance for Kiev will only prolong the war.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Journey Towards Perfection. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of Journey Towards Perfection in the Islamic lifestyle. While we talk about journey towards perfection, it is known as a practice in a way that we want to gain reformation in a religious matter, which is generally known in Persian as Sayru Suluk, or we cannot say it is becoming a monk, but obviously it is a journey towards the self-reformation. And it is better to say this journey towards the self-reformation, which has been also mentioned in the books of the practical books of mysticism, which is known as Irfan-e Amali. So therefore, it is necessary that every single Muslim goes towards this. Why? Because he needs to reach to the level where he has reformed himself. And since Allah has created him potentially perfect, he has to practically become perfect. Therefore, it is necessary in the Islamic lifestyle that we must know about the halal and haram, we must know about the good and evil, and after that must go towards the self-reformation or self-purification through the accesses which is known as Riyadh, basically. So therefore, it is necessary that in the Islamic lifestyle, we also have this important part of this important part in our life, so that when we are performing things, we do in line with the teachings that are being set by the Quran or the mystics who have gone through this path, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of journey towards perfection in the Islamic lifestyle. Now, we said that this means that we must go towards a journey, we must practice in order to reach to the spiritual peace. And for that, we can see that in the world, there are some people who practice yoga, who practice different things. There are the discussions of black magic as Kabbalah in the Judaism, and in other religions, we see different things. But none of them is taking human beings towards the spiritual peace, towards the perfection. Whereas Islam takes the human beings towards the perfection. The things that we do, we perform it with the intention of qurbatan ilallah, in order to get the nearness of God, nearness of Allah. And when we perform such things, there we are very much careful that we do not disobey Allah. And this is also one of the ways of performing the journey towards the perfection or journey towards the purification. And this journey will take us to a level where Allah wants us to be, and that is the level of purified people. And that's why we see that Allah has made Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his holy progeny as a role model for us, so that when we go towards this path, we get this nearness. And obviously, generally, the things that are said to perform is the love of God, the saying of the dhikr, having the tawassul, to wake up in the night, to avoid the doubts, to avoid the makruhat, unwanted things, and to perform the mustahabat and wajibat. So these are the ways in which we can, inshallah, get to the perfection. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Another missile test by North Korea. 4 long-range cruise missiles. This particular test, however, was different. Even North Korea's media reported it that way. Strategic cruise missiles designed to demonstrate its ability to conduct a nuclear counterattack. The key word, counterattack. North Korea has been very clear about its missile tests, and there's nothing new there. It has been in response to the U.S. joint war games in the region, whether with South Korea or Japan. However, now it has described the weapons as strategic, suggesting that they are being developed with the intent to arm them with nuclear warheads. The scenario of North Korea's missile launches and the types of ballistic missiles came into full gear in the year 2022, during the U.S. presidency of Joe Biden. North Korea fired more than 70 ballistic missiles, the most ever. But why would these launches increase so much during Joe Biden's tenure? One reason: the U.S. lack of a foreign policy approach towards North Korea. Just war games and condemnations. The U.S. has even flown B-52 bombers in its war games. High-ranking U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham once said, quote, "If there's going to be a war to stop Kim Jong-un, it will be over there. If thousands die, they're going to die over there." Sanctions have been exhausted. Yet what has been missing is diplomacy or some kind of peace process.
but the U.S. has no appetite for that. The U.S. track record shows that it chooses military solutions to foreign policy problems. But why, when in the case of North Korea, given that it has intercontinental ballistic missiles capable of reaching the U.S. mainland? In the past, the U.S. has used the preventive approach. The U.S. has in its attack doctrine preventive strikes, which differ from preemptive strikes in that they would not be a response to imminent attack from an enemy. Preventive military action has become a popular option among U.S. officials, culminating with George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq. But there's a more important reason. The U.S. may simply use this approach towards North Korea in order to make it give concessions. That, along with the U.S.'s long-sought prize, China. The U.S.'s coming war with China is now perceived as not a matter of if, but when. The telltale signs are there. From the U.S. national security reports, which cite China as the number one threat to U.S. national security, to arming allies in the region, like Japan, the Philippines, and Taiwan. For example, Tokyo just recently announced a record 26.3% increase in its defense spending, which will include missiles capable of reaching China. And then there is Taiwan, which aside from arming it to the tune of billions of dollars, the U.S. will be sending more troops to the island. The U.S. proxy war in Ukraine, possible showdown with Russia, its military threats against Iran, and its potential conflict with North Korea and China. Open Society Foundations described it best when it said, America is in a constant state of war, and its founding values are approaching annihilation.
Malcolm X was the iconic leader of African American Muslims and a civil rights activist who was assassinated 58 years ago. The iconic leader was born in 1925 and was jailed for robbery in 1946. In prison, he was introduced to the Nation of Islam and became influenced by the teachings of its leader. He was assassinated at the age of 39 on the 21st of February 1965 by three men. Now, after 58 years, his daughter says federal agencies concealed evidence of his murder and she intends to sue the FBI, the CIA, New York City Police, and others for his death. Eliza Shabazz accused various federal and New York government agencies of fraudulently concealing evidence. She claimed the evidence shows the agency conspired to assassinate Malcolm X. Shabazz says she seeks $100 million in damages.
For years, our family has fought for the truth to come to light concerning his murder, and we'd like our father to receive the justice that he deserves. The truth about the circumstances leading to the death of our father is important not only to his family, but to many followers, many admirers, many who look to him for guidance, for love. And it is our hope that litigation of this case will finally provide some unanswered questions. We want justice served for our father. Thank you.
The slaying of the black leader has been the subject of speculation about the potential involvement of secret government agencies in his assassination. Back then, the FBI infiltrated black rights movements in a bid to dismantle them. Malcolm X was a lead spokesman for the Nation of Islam. The group advocated separatism for black Americans. Malcolm X later split from the organization and toned down some of his radical views. In the 1950s, the United States reckoned with its prevalent racism, and Malcolm X's assassination was a turning point back then. The Civil Rights Movement, which was a campaign to abolish racial segregation, discrimination, and disenfranchisement throughout the United States, culminated in the 1960s. Various individuals and groups, most notably Martin Luther King, struggled to rid the United States of its institutional racism. But despite years of struggle and some success, structural racism is still rampant in the U.S.
It has failed, and it's very tragic. There's been so much suffering. You know, even when there is progress in the 1960s during what's often referred to as the civil rights movement, the liberation movement, there were gains made, but at the same time that there were legislative remedies made, immediately we see the mass incarceration system beginning. And we see neoliberalism taking hold, which impoverished so many millions of people.
The median household income for black people is 37% less than that of white people. And black people are also less likely to benefit from home ownership, the engine of generational wealth in America. Black couples are also more than twice as likely as their white counterparts to be denied a mortgage or a home improvement loan. Furthermore, only about 5.7% of physicians in the U.S. identify as black or African American. This statistic does not reflect the communities they serve, as an estimated 12% of the U.S. population is black or African American. One reason for this disproportionate number is that black people have been historically excluded from medicine, and life expectancy has declined slightly for African Americans. A black child born today is likely to live up to 74.7 years, 4 years less than a white baby.
So with if there is not a commitment at the top, if there's not seriousness about acknowledging racism and its impact, then we end up with the situation where we're in now, where the U.S. continually claims to be this racism-free country, when in fact it is anything but.
In a State of the Nation address in Moscow, Russian President Vladimir Putin has defended Moscow's military operation in Ukraine. Putin accused the U.S.-led NATO alliance of fanning the flames of the conflict in the mistaken belief that it could defeat Moscow in a global confrontation. He blamed the West for starting the conflict in Ukraine, saying Western countries led by the United States were seeking unlimited power in world affairs. The Russian president said Moscow was not fighting the people of Ukraine, stressing that Ukraine has become a hostage of the Kyiv regime and its Western masters, which have effectively occupied the country. He also accused the U.S.-led NATO of using the conflict as a pretext to supply Kyiv with arms and munitions. Putin warned that the more long-range weapons are sent to Ukraine, the longer Russia will push threats away from its borders. In an important announcement, Putin said Russia was suspending participation in a major arms control agreement with the U.S.
I have to say that Russia suspends its participation in the New START treaty. Let me repeat, Russia does not abandon the treaty, but suspends its participation in it.
The New START treaty was signed in Prague in 2010. It came into force the following year and was extended in 2021 for 5 more years after United States President Joe Biden took office. It caps the number of strategic nuclear warheads that the U.S. and Russia can deploy and deployment of land and submarine-based missiles and bombers to deliver them. Together, Russia and the U.S. hold about 90% of the world's nuclear warheads. Putin also hailed the resistance of the Russian economy in the face of massive sanctions by the West.
As I already mentioned, the West is launching not just a military and informational war against us, but has also opened an economic front. But it is achieving nothing nowhere and will not achieve anything.
He added that the Russian economy has managed to do well despite Western countries' predictions of its collapse. Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual speech coincided U.S. President Joe Biden's unannounced trip to Ukraine and Poland. Biden stepped up his anti-Russia rhetoric during his trip. He pledged more arms for Kyiv and a fresh round of sanctions against Russia during a meeting with his Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky. Biden proclaimed unwavering support for Kyiv and a commitment to bolstering NATO's eastern flank facing Russia. Biden's trip has also drawn criticism from inside America. Conservative Republicans have censured his decision to travel to an active war zone without a significant American military presence. They argue that instead Biden should have visited the border with Mexico or the Ohio town stricken by toxic waste spilled from a derailed train. Kevin Hern, a House Republican from Oklahoma, who chairs the influential Republican Study Committee, said the president's now spent more time in Kyiv than he has at our southern border. House Republican David Kostoff said there are a lot of people here in the U.S. that would say he probably should have gone to Ohio and visited with the people who have been afflicted by the derailment first. Also, the right-wing American lawmaker Marjorie Taylor Greene said Biden chose Ukraine over America, while forcing the American people to pay for Ukraine's government and war. I cannot express how much Americans hate Joe Biden. The comments from Republicans were in many ways business as usual for the Biden presidency. The GOP has hammered him since practically the start of his administration for the increase in migrant arrivals on the southern border and more recently seized on the East Palestine derailment to argue his administration is turning a blind eye to an environmental disaster. East Palestine's mayor, Trent Conaway, said that Biden's Ukraine trip was the biggest slap in the face. That tells you right now he doesn't care about people. Last month, Biden visited Texas's border with Mexico shortly after he announced new restrictions on migrants who arrive in the United States, which drew opposition from advocacy groups and progressive Democrats. But the comments from the Republican lawmakers could also be harbingers of major political battles to come. Since the beginning of the war, the U.S. has supplied Kyiv with about $30 billion worth of weaponry and other aid, but the country has asked for more. That will require the agreement of both the Biden administration and his Democratic allies controlling the Senate, as well as the Republicans in control of the House of Representatives. A year has passed since the ongoing war in Ukraine broke out. Despite calls for dialogue and a peaceful solution to end the conflict, Western nations, particularly the U.S., have fanned the flames of war by sending billions of dollars in arms to Ukraine, including heavy military equipment. This trend has only escalated the conflict, and prospects for an end to the war look bleak. Also, it seems that Ukraine's allies are gearing up for a much longer war. In his first trip to Ukraine since the beginning of the conflict, U.S. President Joe Biden met with his Ukrainian counterpart Volodymyr Zelensky. During his hours-long surprise visit to Kyiv, Biden said he was there to show his country's unwavering support for Ukraine.
And I'm here to show our unwavering support for the nation's independence, their sovereignty, and territorial integrity. And today, I hope we're going to have a chance to discuss how the United States and our allies, by keeping constant contact with them, and our partners, can most effectively support you and your cause, Mr. President.
And later, at a joint presser with Zelensky, Biden promised increased arms deliveries to Ukraine.
We've committed nearly 700 tanks and thousands of armored vehicles, 1,000 artillery systems, more than 2 million rounds of artillery ammunition, more than 50 advanced launch rocket systems, anti-ship and air defense systems, all defend Ukraine. And that doesn't count the other $500 million we're announcing with you today and tomorrow.
Zelensky hailed the visit as a key sign of support, saying Russia does not stand a chance of winning the war.
Пане президенте, я знаю, що...
This is an unequivocal signal that Russian attempts to win will have no chance. Together, we will protect our cities and our people from the terror of Russia.
While Biden was in Kyiv, the U.S. State Department announced a further $460 million in aid to Ukraine. The assistance includes $450 million in artillery ammunition, anti-armor systems, and air radars, as well as $10 million for energy infrastructure. Biden's visit to Ukraine was the first trip to the country by a U.S. president in 15 years. The visit came 4 days before the first anniversary of the breakout of the war between Ukraine and Russia. Moscow has repeatedly warned the West against providing Kyiv with weapons, saying it would only prolong the conflict. Now, Biden's trip has clearly sent a contradictory message to Moscow. That is, the influx of weapons to Ukraine will continue and that Washington exactly wants the war to go on. Since the beginning of the conflict in Ukraine, Western countries, particularly the U.S., have fanned the flames of war by sending arms to the country rather than supporting dialogue. Now, the U.S. has accused China of planning to send weapons to Russia in its war with Ukraine, warning Beijing that any supplies would cause a serious problem.
We have seen Chinese companies, and of course in China there's really no distinction between private companies and the state. We have seen them provide non-lethal support to Russia for use in Ukraine. The concern that we have now is based on information we have that they're considering providing lethal support. And we've made very clear to them that would cause a serious problem for us and in our relationship.
Blinken said he had made it clear to his Chinese counterpart, Wang Yi, during the Munich Security Conference that Beijing would face consequences if it moved ahead with assisting Russia in the war. The warning comes as the U.S. has been the largest provider of weapons to Ukraine during the year-long war with Russia. In reaction to Blinken's comments, China rejected the accusation, saying it's the Americans who are endlessly shipping weapons to the battlefield.
It is the U.S., not China, that is providing a steady stream of weapons on the battlefield. The United States is in no position to make demands of China. We will never accept the U.S. pointing fingers at Sino-Russian relations or even cursing us.
China has expressed deep concern over the Ukraine conflict getting out of control. Beijing has also urged certain countries to stop adding fuel to the fire while pledging to promote dialogue to resolve the conflict.
اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها المزمل قم الليل الا قليلا نصفه
او انقص منه قليلا او زد عليه ورتل القران ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرانك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك ارجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا احسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرانك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRIB English Radio welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem A series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Hussein.
Wa alaikum salam.
Are you fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah.
I'm so glad to have you here. Ali Nasir, how are you? Fine, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, sir. What about you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I'm good, alhamdulillah. How about Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are
Fine?
You?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. So, brothers, welcome. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters who are with IRB English Radio right now, please, we recommend you stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah. So, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, today we will be talking about Ayah 7 of Surah Ali Imran on page 50. Brothers and sisters, if you are having your Quran with you, please turn to page 50, Ayah 7 of Surah Ali Imran. So, everyone, please, once let's listen to the recitation of this ayah, then we will be back.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Huwa alladhi anzala 'alayka al-kitaba minhu ayatun muhkamat. هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب.
That was a nice recitation. Now I will recite it once. Ali Nasir, Hassan and Hussein. Inshallah, you listen carefully, okay? Then repeat our brothers and sisters as well. They will practice with us. Is that okay?
Yes.
Let's go on. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات
هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات
هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات
منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات
فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله
فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله
أحسنت ما شاء الله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله
وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله
والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا
والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا
وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب
يذكر إلا أولو الألباب.
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. الله bless you إن شاء الله. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب. هو الذي it is he the Allah Almighty who has sent down to you the book. منه part of the book is what? آيات محكمات are definitive verses. Okay? Which are the mother of the book. هن أم الكتاب. Which means they are the main verses. Okay? وأخر متشابهات. While others, other verses are metaphorical. It means they have, they need exegesis, interpretations. فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغون. Okay, as for those in whose hearts are deviants, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ بْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَبْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. They pursue what is metaphorical in it, courting temptation and courting its interpretation, okay? They do not follow the true interpretation, they follow the temptation of shaitan. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Be careful, okay? Nobody knows the interpretation well, okay? Who knows? إِلَّا اللَّهِ, Allah Almighty. If you stop here, the Tajweed says, if you stop here, and if you say like waqf is better than wasl, so illallah, it means only Allah Almighty knows the interpretations. If you wasl, if you connect it, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ, nobody knows the interpretation except Allah وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Allah and those who are what? Firmly grounded in knowledge, those who have knowledge, the knowledge. Means Allah Almighty given them the knowledge, like prophets and imams. Okay?
Yes.
So if you stop here, the meaning of the ayah changes. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, nobody knows except Allah Almighty. If you stop here, the next part of the ayah says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and those firmly grounded in knowledge, يَقُولُونَ, they say, آمَنَّا, they say, we believe, okay, in it. آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدَ رَبِّنَا, all of it in is from the from our Lord, sent by Allah Almighty. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ, and none takes admonition, okay? Nobody gets reminded. إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, except those who possess intellect. Alright?
Yes.
Now, I just mentioned one point here. Two points. The first point is that in the Quran Kareem, all the verses are not very much clear for us. Like when you read from the translation, you should understand. No, all the verses are not this way. For example, you understand that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, or يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ, for example. Maintain the prayers. It's very clear, yes, that we should do the prayers. But how should we do the prayers? Should we say, oh Allah Almighty, forgive us? Is this the prayer? Or no, we have a special form of praying. Like ruku', sujood, tashahud, salam. This way. Surah, yes? Which one?
Second one.
How did you know this?
Our imam.
If you were just reading the Quran, no, without hadith, without interpretations of the imams, the teachings of the imams, how would you know that? It's very clear that if Allah Almighty has sent the book, He has to send the teacher as well. Because we can't understand all of them.
قرآني نبض حياتي, قرآني طهر ذاتي, قرآني عصمة أمري, قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
We'll now move on with the Tajweed rules. Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir. All right?
Yes.
Okay. Hussein, Hassan, ready?
Yes.
Yes.
So, the first important Tajweed rule that I have to mention is أنزل هو الذي. The pronunciation of the letter ذال is important. Okay, how to pronounce it correctly? It's important. It shouldn't be mixed with the letter ز. هو الذي. You bite your tongue a bit. أنزل. ز has the Z sound in English, but ذال doesn't have the Z sound. هو الذي أنزل. أنزل. What rule I apply here?
إخفاء.
إخفاء. This is the correct way to recite it. أنزل. Whatever you read it, والذي أنزل. This is wrong. Why? Because there is one rule applied. What is that rule?
إخفاء.
So نون plus نون ساكن plus زا tells you زا is from the rest of the letters. We had four groups. It's not among those the three first groups. إدغام إظهار إقلاب rule, but it's with the إخفاء rule. So you apply the rule إخفاء. How do you do it?
We hide
the sound of the noon. والذي أنزل. Hassan, read it. أنزل. Hide the sound.
والذي أنزل.
أحسن. أنزل. All right. عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات. منه. Here, noon ساكن. But we clearly read it. It's different from إخفاء. So what is it?
إظهار.
You clearly have to pronounce it. Do not hide the sound. Why? Because the letter ha comes after it, right?
Yes.
Minhu. There were six letters that you have to clearly pronounce the letter noon if one of the six letters come after noon sakin or tanwin. What were those letters? Hamza, ha,
ha,
kha, ain, and ghain. So we have ha after noon sakin. Minhu. Do not read it. Minhu. Don't hide the sound. All right, Hussein?
Yes.
Minhu. Ayatun plus mim. Ayatun tanween plus mim.
Idgham.
Ayatun idgham.
Mithlain.
With ghunna.
Yes. Not
with nasal sound. Also two counts. Ayatun nasal sound. Two counts.
Yes.
Muhkamatun. محكماتٌ ها pronounce it clear correctly. محكماتٌ again تنوين plus ها
إظهار.
Oh, no problem if you have تنوين or نون ساكن, but pay attention to the next letter. The next letter is ها.
From throat letters.
إظهار. We have to like clearly read the تنوين. آياتٌ محكماتٌ هن أم الكتاب. هن نون مشدد أم ال مشدد نيزل sound. هن أم نيزل sound. غن sound.
Yes.
وأخرو. Do not read آخرو. Okay. أخرو. أخر means the next one. The others. وأخرو متشابهات. صلة tells you what's less better than وقف. You can stop, but you can continue. فأما الذين من مشدد في قلوبهم زيغون فيتبعون. Again, إخفاء. زيغون فيتبعون. Hide the sound of تنوين. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Again, إظهار. We had this one. مِنْهُ إِبْتِغَى. If you join, ba has to produce a bouncing sound. Also, Hamza will be skipped. مِنْهُ إِبْتِغَى. By the way, mad is wajib. Six counts. Okay?
Yes.
فِتْسِنَةِ وَبْتِغَى تَأْوِيلِهِ. قِلَى tells you, وَقْفْ is better. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. والراسخون في العلم. No special rule. را only heavy sound. يقولون آمنا به كل من. Again, إدغام. كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. The last point. أولو. Wow has a sukun on the top. Don't read. Wow. Do not read it. أولو الألباب. No. أولو الألباب. Alright, Hussein. Do you have any question?
No, sir.
No? Okay. Long ayah, but a lot of points, yes?
Yes.
So practice the tajweed rules, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. If you had any questions, you can ask. But I ask you kindly to refer to the Tafasir book for interpretations for more information. And also practice the tajweed rules with the recitation a lot, inshallah. May you be, inshallah, one of the reciters, the best reciters of the Quran Kareem. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International School, والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ten minutes.
July 12, 2022. A young man loses his temper in a court in Tehran. It's the trial of Jamshid Sharmat, the ringleader of the so-called Kingdom Assembly of Iran, also known as Tondar, a terrorist group with the blood of innocent citizens on its hands. The group also seeks the downfall of the Islamic Republic and the restoration of the ousted monarchy at any cost. Like many other terrorist opposition groups, Tondar is located in the United States. It has its own TV channel and radio station in Los Angeles, used mainly for stirring up hatred. The group also runs a website that includes dangerous contents, such as user manuals in Farsi for making improvised explosive devices. It collects funds for its terrorist activities through its Bank of America account. And although Interpol has issued arrest warrants for several of the group's senior members, they continue to live with impunity in Los Angeles and London, as well as some other Western capitals. In fact, the group enjoys widespread support from the CIA and the FBI. By their own admission, Tondar has launched dozens of terrorist attacks and killed tens of civilians in Iran. In 2006, for example, the group succeeded in an explosion of Sivan Dam in Fars province. In 2009, it carried out an improvised bomb attack on the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic. In 2010, the group admitted instigating unrest after the June 12 presidential elections. And again the same year, the European branch of Tondar claimed responsibility for the assassination of the Iranian nuclear scientist Masoud Ali Mohammadi in Tehran. But under the leadership of Jamshid Sharmat, the group's ugliest attack happened in 2008. The target was a religious place in the southern city of Shiraz, where ordinary people had been holding a mourning ceremony. The attack left 14 dead and more than 200 wounded, including women and children. After the Shiraz attack, the bombers fled to Tehran. They started on their next plan to bomb several locations in the capital city, including Tehran International Book Fair, a successful operation would have been an international tragedy. Since its foundation in 2004, Tunder has been involved in bombings, arson attacks, assassinations, and leaking classified information about the country's defense and security programs. Meanwhile, with the aim of striking terror in the heart of society and pumping money into its terrorist activities, the group has planned again and again to rob banks and currency exchanges inside Iran. This is Jamshid Sharmat, Tunder's ringleader. Although the file is hardly audible, it clearly reveals Sharmat's strategy as a supposedly opposition leader in relation to the nation, indiscriminate killing of civilians, as many as possible. Sharmat has abrasively masterminded and taken responsibility for deadly attacks against his fellow Iranians. If he is not notoriously known in the world like other terrorists such as bin Laden and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that's only because many of his terrorist plots were foiled by Iran's security before being executed. The list of his terrorist plots goes on and on, from targeting oil pipelines in the south to bombing the Russian consulate in the northern city of Rasht. These are only two examples out of many. In August 2020, Iran's intelligence ministry announced that it had arrested Sharmat following a complex operation and then committed him for trial. Now he has been sentenced to death for a bevy of charges, generally labeled as corruption on earth. In reaction, some other opposition figures such as Masih Ali-Nejad, whom herself is reportedly on the CIA pay list, have condemned the sentence. After all, she is regarded inside the country as an American lackey commissioned to instigate disturbances with the final aim of so-called regime change in Tehran. Supporting a terrorist like Sharmat could reveal, to a great extent, her true colors. Meanwhile, Germany has questioned and condemned the sentence, and as a result expelled two Iranian diplomats. But the fact is, pigeonholing such trials as sham or unfair is an old technique used by the West to protect their own terrorists to the last moment and at the same time exonerating themselves from harboring terrorists. In other words, if the Germans accept the charges against Sharmat, it means they have accepted harboring a dangerous terrorist on their soil. That's why they're acting like this. But isn't it time for the West to cease financing and harboring terrorists? From their safe havens in the U.S. and Europe, dangerous criminals such as Jamshid Sharmat promote hatred, organized murder and mayhem, and shamelessly claim responsibility for the murder of innocent Iranian civilians. Enough is enough.
IRIB English Radio.